The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 6th chapter. Jesus came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. On the Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astounded. They said, "Where did this man get all this? What is this wisdom that has been given to him? What deeds of power are being done by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. Then Jesus said to them, "Prophets are not without honor, except in their hometown and among their own kin and in their own houses." And he could do no deed of power there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and cured them. And he was amazed at their unbelief. Then he went out among the villages teaching. He called the 12 and began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over unclean spirits. He ordered them to take nothing for their journey except a staff. No bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not to put on two tunics. He said to them, "Wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave the place. If any place will not welcome you and they refuse to hear you, as you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them." So they went out and proclaimed that all should repent. They cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them. The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Going home. Going back to our hometown to be with family and friends after a long absence. We all know what a wonderful experience that is. In our gospel reading for today, Jesus goes back to his hometown of Nazareth in Galilee. He'd been gone for a length of time. Although Jesus was born in Bethlehem, Nazareth became his hometown. That's where Joseph had established his carpentry business. That's where Joseph and Mary were from. That's where Joseph and Mary had returned to raise their son Jesus after the death of King Herod. Herod, you will recall, had tried to kill the baby Jesus, causing Joseph and Mary, having been warned by an angel, to flee to Egypt until Herod died. Nazareth, therefore, was Jesus' hometown. And Jesus had decided to return to Nazareth, for a visit. What had Jesus been doing while he was away from his hometown? He had been baptized by John in the River Jordan. The Spirit of God had descended upon him like a dove. God had spoken from heaven, saying, "This is my beloved, my son, with whom I am well pleased." Then Jesus had been led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where he had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. And after that, he had been tempted by the devil, but until the devil gave up in defeat and left him for a while. Following that, Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, went to Galilee, proclaiming the gospel and teaching in the synagogues. He was highly praised by everyone, and news about him spread throughout all the surrounding territory. Then he went to Nazareth, his hometown. As was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath to hear God's word and to worship. Jesus' reputation as a teacher had preceded him, so after reading from the scroll of the Torah, which contained the five books of Moses, the leader of the synagogue invited Jesus to come up and read and teach. From Luke, we get more details about what he read when he taught. Jesus was given the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. He opened the scroll and found a place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovering of sight of the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Then, according to Luke, he said, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." This passage from Isaiah is a messianic passage. And by telling the people in the synagogue that it has been fulfilled this day in their presence, Jesus is telling them that he is the Messiah. He continued to speak, but the hearers began to get angry. The more he spoke, the angrier they got. Why were they getting angry? They simply could not see this man who had grown up among them as being the Messiah, the Son of God, come down from heaven and walking around in a real human body. "Where does this man get all this?" they ask. "Isn't this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us?" And as Mark wrote, they took offense at him. They thought he was just an ordinary man, not the Messiah, not the Son of God. Hence, to them, he was a blasphemer. And the penalty for blasphemy was death. So according to Luke, they took Jesus out of the city to a cliff. And they tried to crowd him off of that cliff. But in a demonstration of his power, he just passed right through the midst of them and went away. Jesus had gone back to his hometown, but it didn't turn out to be a happy occasion. It wouldn't be like you would have expected. Instead, he had experienced opposition, hostility, and even an attempt on his life. What happened to Jesus at Nazareth turned out to be a harbinger of things to come. Many people believed in Jesus, but those in authority always regarded him as a blasphemer, and they were always plotting his death. In the end, they had him nailed to a cross and let him hang there until he died Throughout his 3-year ministry, Jesus had faced opposition, hostility, and plots against his life. After Jesus rose from the dead and ascended into heaven, his followers began to face similar opposition, hostility, and even death. Before he died, Jesus had told his disciples, "If the world hates you, be aware that it hated me before it hated you. Remember the word that I said to you, servants are not greater than their master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you." Although it's never heard of in America, at least I've never heard of it, that Christians get killed here for following Jesus, things at times can get pretty tough here for Christians. Teenagers are sometimes bullied at school and are ostracized for not going along with the crowd when the crowd is engaging in un-Christian behavior. People can lose their jobs for refusing to engage in un-Christian behavior at work. At a mission church I was helping to start some years ago, a lay leader of that church was fired from his job because he refused to go along with dishonest business practices that would enable the company to make larger profits. So right here in America, Christians like Jesus can face opposition and hardship for being followers of Jesus. In certain countries outside America, however, things can get horrible for Christians. A missionary friend of mine who worked in Malaysia told me about a teenage boy who wanted to get baptized and join the church. When the teenager's father found out that the boy was attending Christian worship services, he went off into a rage and picked up a chair and started beating the boy with the chair. There are countries in the world right now where Christians are subject to having their homes and their churches burned down, and they can be killed by mob violence. There are countries in the world today where it is illegal to be a Christian, and these Christians, in these countries, Christians try to have secret church services in their homes, but if they get caught, they go to prison. Yes, just like Jesus in today's gospel reading, Christians can face different degrees of hostility depending upon where they live. Bullying at school, ostracism, rejection, loss of job, beatings, loss of homes, church burnings, even death. Why do people continue to practice their Christian faith in countries where they have to suffer so badly for their faith? They do it because they know that God so loved the world that he gave his only son to suffer and die for them, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. It's the love of God that they have experienced, the love of Jesus that they have seen as he suffered and died for them on the cross. The love of the Holy Spirit, who fills him with love, joy, peace, and strength, and that enables him to continue as Christian, faithful Christians under such dire conditions. Finally, people who live in countries where they get persecuted know that one day there's going to be a great homecoming. Jesus will come to take them to be with him in their eternal home. One day, because Jesus died for us and rose again, we're all going to go to that great homecoming. Antonín Dvořák wrote his New World Symphony in 1893. A student of Dvořák, William Arms Fisher, collected Negro spirituals for posterity so they wouldn't be lost. To the tune of the largo in the second movement of the New World Symphony, Fisher wrote the words to a song in the style of a Negro spiritual. The song was entitled, Going Home. Going home. Going home. I'm going home. Quiet like, some still day, I'm just going home. It's not far, just close by, through an open door. Work all done, care laid by, going to fear no more. Mother's there, expecting me. Father's waiting too. Lots of folks gathered there, all the friends I knew. Home, home, I'm going home. Nothing lost, all's gain. No more fret nor pain, no more stumbling on the way, no more longing for the day. Going to roam no more. Morning star lights the way, restless dreams all done, shadows gone, break of day, real life's just begun. There's no break, ain't no end, just living on, wide awake with a smile, going on and on. Going home. Going home. I'm just going home. It's not far, just close by, through an open door. I'm just going home. Going home. Amen.